Hi, and welcome to my podcast, Pure Happy Healthy. I'm your host, Leandra Haupt, model, entrepreneur, coach, and hypnotherapist. And I'm here to bring you more mindfulness in all areas of your life. Each week, I'll have a different focus on my show. Mindful Me, Mindful Model, Mindful Mensch, and Mindful Master Sessions. Thank you so much for being here and showing up to become the best version of yourself possible. Hi, and welcome to another Mindful Master Session. Today I'm speaking with Gab Chappelle. She lives in New York and used to be a model and a TV presenter. She's still doing that, but her life really changed when she applied for a cooking competition on TV, where she still does her cooking in a cooking show, and she really got into the culinary arts from that. So we speak a lot about food and preparing food in this episode, and how it is actually a form of therapy, and it can bring so much healing, and it has so many analogies to life. I think it's just super, super cool how, like, a simple thing, as we see, like a simple thing like food, which we're basically confronting every day in terms of cooking and eating, can have such a big impact on our life and the way we see things, in the way we deal with things, and also how we treat ourselves. It really shows how much self-care do you give yourself. Do you nourish yourself and your body with good foods? Or do you don't care and just put like crappy things inside your body? It really reflects so much on your life. So we speak a lot about that, and also on her sudden media attention that she got with the cooking show, and the things that she does. So that was really like a sudden change in her life and how she deals with this and people who hate on the internet. And about change in life, all the things that constantly change around you and how you can deal with that, and also actively change the things in your life if you're not happy with that anymore. So it's a super, super inspiring and beautiful episode, and I wish you so much fun listening to it, and enjoy this conversation with Gab Chappelle. So today I'm in the interview with Gabby, and the funny thing is that we met each other in New York a few years ago, actually in a nail salon getting a manicure, and we haven't met each other ever since. And it's weird because I still feel like I was in touch all the time and we're like best homies, but we just met that one short time. So I'm really happy to connect with you, Gabby, on Pure Happy Healthy today. Hi and welcome.
Thank you so much. I'm so thrilled to be on here today. It does feel very full circle that we met getting our nails done and, you know, doing our own form of therapy. And now we're just kind of meeting now to talk all things holistic and beauty and food and all that. So it feels good.
Yeah, it's so interesting to see over social media, mainly how both of us have evolved into a complete different direction. So I'm super excited to dive deeper into what you're doing at the moment. But before we get started, I would like to know, what did you have for breakfast this morning?
Oh, I had coffee because I haven't had time really to eat yet. So I just am having a little bit of coffee, and I actually put some collagen in my coffee. And I have a little bit of agave and cashew milk in it. So I just have a very fancy coffee for breakfast, which I'm drinking currently.
Yeah, coffee always works. You know, I've worked as a barista. Coffee counts as a breakfast, I would say. And it's funny because you're drinking it very much the New York style with like all kinds of stuff in it. And yeah, probably in a very big mug, as I can see.
Absolutely. No, it's funny because I feel like I have a very high standard for so many other foods and stuff that I eat, but for coffee, I'm so American. I just have like really fun, weird flavored beans, like pecan flavored coffee, but it's just super cheap and it's like Dunkin' Donuts quality, but I just don't care. I just like to have something that tastes really good in the morning.
That does sound very stereotypical American. It doesn't count as a coffee for me. Anyways, I would like to know, who is Gabby and what are you currently working on in your life?
Oh, that's such a good question, because I feel like it's changed so much in just a year. I feel like 1 year ago, I was working a couple different jobs, including being a model, which is kind of how we connected. And I was doing modeling. I was hosting for the PBS, you know, public broadcast station. And I was also doing another job in production and working all these crazy hours. And then obviously everything totally changed. And now I'm working as a producer for a pharmacy startup. And I actually, even more so, have really discovered just sort of what I think my next chapter is. So I think Gabby today is someone who's sort of embarking on a brand new adventure in a world that up until probably 2 years ago, I never, ever would have even considered thinking to go into. And so it's really exciting that I've sort of gone in this direction where I am hoping to pursue being involved in the world of culinary arts and cooking. So she's just rebranding. Gabby's rebranding.
Yeah, just before in our conversation, before we started to record, we were already saying that change is such a like big aspect of life, and it's so nice to stay open for change and go with the flow and don't always stay in the same model that you've always been, but be open for new experiences to come up. So you just told me you will go to culinary school, and currently you're also very well known on your social media for a cooking show that you're doing. So what is all that about? How did you get into the arts of cooking, and specifically the cooking show?
So I've always loved cooking. My family is a very baking heavy, cooking heavy family, and I've always just been around it. You know, going for a weekend over to my grandmother's, my nana's, and making bread or pierogies or anything like that. And so it's always just been kind of a part of my life. And it wasn't really, though, until 2 or 3 years ago that I randomly went to a casting call for this show where they invite 50 people to try this one cooking challenge. And of course, it's called 50 People Try to Do Blah, Blah, Blah on Epicurious. And so it's this little show on their YouTube channel where it's like 50 people try to make a grilled cheese. And I remember going into that, and it was at a really, really tough point for me in my time in New York. I was really having a lot of trouble just financially, and I had a lot of trouble with a relationship at that time. It was very, very toxic and hurtful. And so I went to this show and I filmed an episode with them, and it was just really one of the first times I felt really joyful in such a long time. And so I just looked forward to it so much. And then it kind of grew from there. And what ended up being the show where it's like 50 people try and do blah, 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 they kind of reached out to me a few episodes in and were like, would you want to move forward and be on our other show called Four Levels? And I was so just completely excited. And they also wanted me. So the concept of Four Levels is that they take a beginner cook, and then someone who's a really comfortable home cook, and then an expert. And then they have them basically cook the same dish, but their own version of that dish. So obviously, it looks very varied throughout the levels. And so for me, they asked if I wanted to be the home cook, the level two chef. And so I was very honored because I really loved cooking, and it felt like such an honor to be not the novice. And so from there is when I really started to fall in love with the process, and it became a little bit more than a hobby. It became something that I just fell in love with, and felt that there was so much potential in what that meant and what it could be. And so the show has evolved from there, and it's ended up getting me quite a bit of attention on social media, which was not something I really intended or anticipated at all. It just kind of happened. And so I do feel a little bit of pressure to kind of keep up with that, the social media component of it. But overall, it kind of just made me decide, this is the thing I care about, and there's no time like now if there's nothing that we've learned from the pandemic. And so I just kind of decided that why not make this big leap my next chapter and just kind of figure it out from there. So yeah, it's been quite the journey.
Wow, such a cool beginning of such a successful story. Is there any specific kind of cooking that you really enjoy, or kind of food that you go for?
I really love trying new things and trying new cuisines and stuff. I tend to be very plant-based in my own personal cooking, and I love exploring some of, the plant-based cultures in other different countries, and what other people are doing, and some of the other traditions. And I feel like plant-based is so, it has kind of a bad connotation here in the US, or at least it used to for a while, where everyone kind of got annoyed with people who were vegetarian or vegan. And though I don't technically consider myself vegetarian or vegan, I do really try very hard to make sure that I'm cooking in that way and I am eating those ingredients. And as I've gotten increasingly more and more into cooking, I've learned that there's just so much you can do with plant-based cooking. I think it's kind of like the iceberg model, where everyone sees the top as like tofu and vegetables, but underneath is this beautiful world of food from in that just spans so many different cultures that is plant-based, and it's normal and good and delicious and perfect in its own way. It doesn't need meat.
Is there any specific rule maybe that people can apply when they're cooking in terms of what matches well together, or how can we create a dish that maybe even if we're experimenting that will taste good and be good in terms of all the nutrients we need for our body?
I think that it's funny. It's just like this the show that's on Netflix. It's called what, Salt, Fat, Acid, Heat. And I feel like that is it's as simple as that in terms of making food taste good. So you have to balance it. If you have something kind of sweet, salty normally tastes good with it. If you have something that's fatty, a little bit of something acidic tastes really good to break that up. And so I think it's just exploring that and what that is personally to you. And I think too, deciding the foods that you want to eat and what work best for you would just all really come through experimentation in the kitchen, and what you like and what flavors are good to you, and just kind of also taking notes when you're ordering things and you're like, "Ooh, I really like that," and "I don't like that." And so I think generally speaking, when you're getting into cooking, it's all about just trial and error. And there have been so many errors I've made. It's absurd, but that's what it's all about. And I think just being kind of like a student of life and a student of whatever you decide you want to be a student of gives you kind of a free pass to mess up if you want to, because you're learning, and that's what it's all about.
Yeah, thank you so much for saying this, because I feel a lot of people are so scared to start cooking or do regular cooking because they're scared to mess it up and fail because maybe they don't know. But I think that's exactly the beauty about it. I think the nicest dishes actually came out when I was experimenting with really weird things together. And then I ended up liking it so much that I did it for like a month every single day or something because I got obsessed with it. My top secret combination is green beans in fried in olive oil with sunflower seeds and sauerkraut. And sauerkraut and even pickles taste good to it, cold pickles. So I eat it cold. And people always say that's such a weird combination, but when they try it, it's actually beautiful. So I think, yeah, just try out weird things sometimes because you might end up liking it and have your signature dish with us. So do you have like something like a signature dish that is very special to you?
Oh, I feel like... For me, my signature dish and just what I eat, generally speaking, is kind of similar to like what you described. Like you have your element of like the fattiness that's in the green beans with the olive oil, and then you have that crunch and from the sunflower seeds and like the sourness from the sauerkraut. So it's such a well-rounded sort of dish in itself. And so for me, I love to play around with textures and things that you wouldn't really expect. So I really love making different plant-based curries and really exploring what that looks like and using really heavy fun spices. So I think my favorite things to cook are curries, and I just feel like I never mess up, because how can you go wrong when you're using full fat coconut milk and, you know, just like incredible Indian spices? I feel like you just can't go wrong. And so I feel like that might be what I would make for, you know, friends if I want to make something big. And I'll normally do something with like eggplant, because I feel like eggplant is one of the things that, same thing, like I got obsessed with trying to figure out, because the eggplant to me is such a crazy, challenging food that people are really intimidated by it to make. But all it takes is just a little extra work sometimes, and it's one of those things that once you figure it out, it's so easy. And it, you can't tell someone that something's easy though, because normally they're like, no way, there's just no chance. And it's like, well, once you try it, you're, and then you figure it out, then it does become easy. And that's just kind of the whole point. So probably curries are my favorite that I'm learning about and trying. I'm by no means have any actual clout to really solidify how good they are, but I like them.
Yeah. You also said before that you like to experiment with the plant-based diets of different cultures. And now you said, talked about the curries. And before we also started recording, you were saying that's really important to honor the cultural appropriation of dishes. Could you explain a little bit what that means to you and how do you handle this?
Absolutely. This is something that I feel a deep responsibility to carry. I am, as someone who... I have my own version of culture and food, and a lot of that comes from Eastern Europe. I'm Eastern European, so a lot of the food I grew up with is Polish and Lithuanian, and I know Poland is a little more Central Europe, but from that region of cuisine, though. And so I'm trying myself to learn more about my own culture and my own forms of cooking and what my family and ancestors and great grandparents who came to America have been cooking. But I do feel that young chefs and people getting into the industry do have sort of this, I guess, responsibility to not steal from other cultures, or at least pay respect to where it's coming from. So when I'm working with Epicurious on a recipe, I've definitely maybe not done the best job in the beginning, but then as I've gotten deeper into what I'm doing, I think it's really important to do your homework and to understand where this is dish is coming from, why it's like this, who is eating this, is this a street food, is this a food for poor people, or like, for example, I'm making a pão de queijo on an episode coming up, and I was like, where does pão de queijo come from? It's like a Portuguese Brazilian cheese bread. And so I finally took some time last night to read the history of it, and it comes from cassava flour, which is a starch, and from a root. And that was actually just the only food that they allowed the slaves during the time of colonialism to have. And then eventually, as time went on, they were able to get milk and cheese. And so they ended up creating this cheese bread that way. But really, pão de queijo its origins are from slavery that had been happening during the colonial era in Brazil. And so just taking an extra 10 minutes to look up like why this delicious, amazing, chewy cheese bread is what it is today, and being like, wow, this was actually coming from a really dark and sad time in history, and just kind of understanding that, I feel like you can just move more respectfully with the way that you work with ingredients, or you talk about ingredients, or the way you educate other people about how something came to be. And so for me, it's just making sure that I'm doing my honor and the duty and due diligence of making sure that I understand what I'm cooking with, and I understand it from a historical standpoint as well.
Yeah, that's such an interesting approach to food, because I think in our modern cultures, especially in big cities like New York or Berlin as well, like we have such a melting pot of people from different heritage, but also from different foods. And most people don't really question themselves anymore. Where does this actually come from? Like a pizza, okay, like pizza, it's from New York or something, you know, like New York slices pizza, but no, actually, where does this come from? And what was the idea behind it? And why is the name given and stuff like this? And I think this knowledge kind of gets lost. And it's very interesting to actually to ask it from that perspective, where does it come from? And then honoring that history. But then at the same time, I think it's also kind of cool that nowadays, you know, like people from Turkey work in a pizza shop, and then I don't know, Korean people work in a döner kebab place, and then you have all this beautiful merge of people from all over the world who just enjoy the same food no matter where they're from, and then but at the same time also looking, okay, what's the history behind it and where does it come from? So especially in New York, I think this is such a big deal with so many food heritage and places to eat.
Yeah, definitely. And one of my favorite people who kind of really got me thinking about this, his name's Eddie Wong, and he has his own show on Vice, or else he did. I think they may have pulled it, but and it was all about him being this Taiwanese kid who grew up in Orlando. He also wrote the series Fresh Off the Boat for, I think, ABC. I forget which. I actually haven't been able to watch the show, but I watched his show on Vice, and I'm reading his books. And he's just this kid who grew up in Orlando, but he had such crazy connections to Taiwan, and he created this restaurant in New York called Bauhaus, and just was super successful with it. But his whole message is just kind of like paying it forward and paying it back to his people. And that really struck a chord with me, because it's like, I remember when I started this journey, I was like, I just don't want to be another white girl food blogger. Like, that's just the thing I want to avoid. Like, there's enough of them, you know, I don't want to be someone else trying to tell other people how to eat, what to do, what they should do. Like, for me, I think it should be much more of like an educational experience for myself and for whoever I would be interacting with, rather than acting like I know everything, because that's impossible. And so my goal is to come at it from a really sincere angle, and to know that I don't know everything, which is hard sometimes because I'm very stubborn. So But yeah, it's all a learning experience, and it's really fun. And I think when you look at it from that way too, you're just setting yourself up for success.
Are you a Capricorn?
I'm not actually. Do you want to get another guess of what I am?
A Scorpio?
No, I'm actually Gemini, which
Oh,
is
okay.
I'm
Because
Gemini, but I have I think it's interest I think my whole chart's kind of interesting because I'm Gemini, so it's like the twins, but then my moon is in Libra, which is then like the another dual sign, and then my ascendant is in Cancer, which explains why I cry so often.
Okay, because the Capricorns are so known to be so stubborn, that's why I thought you might be a.
I think my stubbornness is a little bit my, you know what it is? My Mars is in Aries.
Okay, a little bit astrology at the side.
Absolutely. I love it.
Same. But going back to what you just said, I love that you said you accept that you don't know everything yet, and you probably won't be able to know everything because there's just so much. And I think this is such an important sentence to accepting that whatever it is, like you can keep on learning and learning and learning. And I think that's the beauty of the whole thing, that you never finish learning. And what we said in the beginning also, that after a few years, maybe you would want to do something else, and then that journey starts again from zero. And people are often scared of this. Oh, but then I have to start by zero. But isn't that exactly the beauty of life, that you go into different fields, and then in the end, you have that very individual merge of so many different things that make you who you are. And I think especially on your person, I can really see that now. You're more into the cooking and also the TV show, but then you also have a corporate job, if I can call it corporate. But then also you did modeling for such a long time. So how is that for you now? Like, how do you see modeling in your everyday life? Or is that still something you pursue, or is it kind of finished and over for you?
I think that I like to think it's not over and finished. I really have enjoyed the experiences that the modeling industry has given me, and honestly, quite frankly, the thick skin that it's given me too. As much as I hate the fact that that's a result of the modeling industry, I think that what you learn is you have to be okay with failure. You have to be okay with losing out on a job that you really thought that you had, but then when it really comes down to it, it's nothing against you. There's just so many important lessons that you can learn in the modeling industry, and I feel like as much as I didn't want to learn them, it gave me so much in the long run. It gave me so much more confidence than I definitely felt while I was, knee deep in it and starting out in the industry. I was so intimidated, and I was always more of the lifestyle type of model. I didn't do a lot of high fashion or anything, and then I always kind of felt intimidated by that side of the industry, and I just kind of stayed in my lane with the more commercial stuff. And it always felt like I had this like inferiority complex, though, that it's like I'm not tall enough, I'm not thin enough, I'm not whatever. But I feel like because I had to go through all of that in such a short period of time, I just kind of got it all out of my system. And now I'm like, whatever. It's just like I can finally see it on the other side. But I don't think I would have been anywhere close to where I am with that mentality if I hadn't gone through it. And so I really look at modeling now as a wonderful opportunity, should it ever come to me in the way that I really enjoy the client, or I want to work with this certain person to maybe check off a little box that I'm excited about. And obviously, there's something to be said about the financial component of having the luxury of working in the modeling industry and stuff. But I think it's kind of taken a seat on the back burner just because I have so many other irons in the fire right now. But my favorite part of the industry above and beyond is just the people that I've been able to meet through the industry, for sure. They're just so lovely. You know, everyone thinks models are catty and snarky and whatever, but I've just, oh my gosh, I love so many of the people I've met in the industry. Like, that's just such a, and if someone is sour and salty, like, they never really, I don't know, they never cross my path really, or else I just ignore them. So it's been a really fun experience kind of learning that, like, the people themselves are not at all the issue in the industry. It's the industry.
Yeah, it's interesting that you say that, because I have very similar experiences to you. And against all prejudice that people have about modeling, for me, it really helped me as well to get so strong and learn who I am, and also handle rejection. As you said, you have to live with rejection almost on a daily basis and don't take it personal. And in the beginning, it really hurts, but then you really find your way not to define yourself through the outside rejection, which is on your, somewhat on your look and on your person a little bit. So it's kind of tough, but then if you're over that and you see that it actually doesn't have anything to do with you, and you have your value for yourself, then you become so incredibly strong, and it really helps you evolve. And also in my experience, I've only met beautiful people. I mean, very rarely you have weird people, but I mean, you have that everywhere, right? And so many people say that models are these bitchy, arrogant girls talking bad about each other. And in my opinion, or in my experience, that was really the opposite. That's one of my reasons why I do the mindful model sessions, because I've met so many beautiful models who have to say a lot of interesting things. So yeah, also happy to hear that you made very very similar experiences. So now you have quite a big following on social media, and you still sometimes work in the lifestyle industry. And so how is it for you in terms of being in the public eye now a little bit, and also working as an influencer? Like, I know this word is kind of stigmatized, but yeah, you know what I mean. So how has that gone for you? Do you feel like somewhat like a pressure that comes along with so much following and expectations, maybe? Or is it really something that you also enjoy because it gives you a platform to do what you want to do? Or how is it for you?
That's a really good question. And that's something I think I'm still trying to figure out. I feel like I mentioned earlier, I kind of got thrust into it. It was kind of an exciting thing because I did have this platform, and for so long I kind of thought I wanted to be a personality, potentially on TV. You know, that was my whole background. I did in university, I was did broadcast journalism, so I really I anticipated a career where I would be on camera. And then once it all happened, I feel like I was like, whoa, this is a little overwhelming. Like, I don't know how to kind of keep up with this. I don't know what do I want to do with this? What do people expect me to do? Do I care what they expect me to do? And so just all these questions when something like that happens so instantaneously and kind of without necessarily wanting it, really. And so I think I'm still trying to really figure that out at the moment. And I feel like for my Instagram, though, I did just kind of lean into doing what felt good. And so that was doing something as silly as like taking dumb pictures with my vegetables. But like, I loved it and I thought it was fun. And just kind of sharing that portion of my life. But I definitely have noticed that in the past few months as I, you know, deal with my own personal mental health, in trying to maintain some sort of regularity, I've noticed I've drawn back a little bit, because I consider myself, I'm sure a ton of people do, but I do weirdly consider myself to be an empath. I feel that I'm very much an energy person, and so sometimes when I have so many people having so many eyes on me in a way that I feel like people anticipate or think they know my personality based off of these videos that I'm in, as well as my social media presence. And it's kind of a really scary place to be in when I think it's first presented to you, because you have this expectation, or there's this this notion that people know me, and they don't. And I think that that's the thing I find really frustrating, is like, these people actually don't know who I am. I'm sure that some of them are probably close to assuming who I am, but I think that it was really challenging to kind of be okay with the fact that there's just thousands of people that I've never met, I will never meet, that have an opinion about me that I never really felt the pressure of before when I was doing things on television, because that just does, you don't even see that, you don't hear it, it's not a dialogue. And so I think what's interesting about social media itself is that it is a dialogue. People can reach out to you, they can message you, they can say nasty things if they want to. And I think that that was really challenging for me to kind of wrap my head around and be able to process emotionally. And I don't know if I'm really quite totally comfortable with it yet, but the way I'm approaching it now is just kind of doing what feels right, what feels comfortable, not forcing it. And even though I guess I am in a way an influencer, I do actually really try and protect like what image I'm putting out there. And if I've had plenty of, you know, brands kind of reach out and say, do you want to endorse this and stuff? And I've just never really felt comfortable doing it unless I like 100% am on board with the product and the person and the company. And so I really keep whatever I'm sharing with whoever is following me to a minimum, because I want to kind of keep it pure and fun. I don't really want my social media to be my business. So I don't really know yet where and how I'm going to move forward with it, but it's been a very interesting experience, that's for sure.
Yeah, especially since it has gone so fast for you that your followers just like skyrocket, and then suddenly you're in the public eye, and I guess that's something you need to get used to, and then you're suddenly in this complete different circumstances. But it really sounds like it's another learning lesson in terms of not having negative comments, same as like modeling, affect you on your personal level, and just seeing it as, okay, like haters will always find someone to hate. And I don't have as much following as you, but I still sometimes get really mean messages, or on some public, if I'm in a clip or in a show or something, you get negative reactions from people. And then I always try to see the person behind that and try to imagine that very frustrated, bitter person sitting there all day, having nothing else to do than just like searching for people on the internet who they can project their hate to. And then I actually almost feel sorry for them instead of like hating back. Because it doesn't make any sense, you know, and if you have that image of that very, actually very poor person there, it becomes more acceptable, you know. But yeah, I mean, if you're an empath, I know that, like, especially in the current world situation right now, it's tough to deal with all of the things that are happening. And then especially if you get negative reactions, it's a tough time, definitely.
Yeah. And two, it is its own new set of challenges to kind of get over in terms of the public criticism, because before it was my looks. And then eventually I was like, screw you guys, whatever. I love it. Like, you just have to be like comfortable with yourself and be like, whatever, like, yeah, what you can think whatever you want. And then, but when it comes to something I'm more sensitive and more passionate about, I'm more protective. So when like a video goes up on Epicurious and they're like, she totally burnt this thing, I am like, oh, I did, and I'm sad about it, and I don't want you to think that's the like takeaway. But of course, in that same realm, it's so true that for every like negative comment, there's probably 50 nice ones that are just super supportive and sweet, but it's the negative ones that we can't stop thinking about. And that's the thing I'm really working on, is trying to be more receptive of compliments that, and really, really accepting those and taking the criticism for, you know, a grain of salt. Like it's just kind of shifting that mindset. That's so much easier said than done, but I think that's the only way that you can deal with the internet, that or just not even reading comments, which is also something I'm working on. It's hard not to, because I want to see what people are saying and what people think, if they like something, but it is challenging to kind of deal with the negative too. That's for sure.
Yeah, but it also goes back to gratitude, you know, seeing what's already positive and good around you instead of focusing on the one bad thing that is around you. And I think so many people, like the bad thing sticks with them, but actually then you tend to forget what is already so beautiful in your life and what you already have. And I'm making gratitude lists almost every morning, writing down what's beautiful in my life and what I already achieved, or who I am and what I have in my life that is beautiful. And then it's much easier to stay positive and focus on the good things instead of the one bad thing that happens to you at the day or something. So now, as so many people stay home and restaurants are closed, at least here in Berlin, I think in New York probably only takeaway, I guess. So what is one advice for someone who still says like, oh, I can't cook, or I'm scared of cooking, or I don't know what to do? What would you tell that person in order to just get started?
I feel like a really fun way to get involved or interested in cooking is like, okay, what is your absolute favorite meal? Like, what is it? And then starting from there, and then like going online, finding a recipe, or let's say it's even at a restaurant, like DMing them and saying, what's your recipe? And 9 times out of 10, they'll probably give it to you. But just getting something that you really, really like. And odds are, if you're going to go through the effort of making it, and if you're going to put kind of the time and effort into it, you'll probably be happy with yourself, even if it doesn't turn out perfectly or exactly what you think it is. To me, and the reason why I think that I really like cooking is that it's like a step-by-step process. And sometimes people are better at baking. If you don't like cooking, try baking. There's a good chance that you would. I feel like people fall into one of the categories. I consider myself to be more of a cook than a baker, but I love the methodical process of baking. It's like, you have to do this in order to do this. It's all science. And so I think that just kind of looking at it more step by step and attacking it one little piece at a time, rather than like, how in the world do I make a whole cake? Well, like, of course you, how on earth would you ever kind of be able to think of that all at once? Like, you just have to be like, okay, flour, all right, done. Next is adding in this. And so when you just break it down into little tiny tasks, then it's become so much less challenging. But I think that my advice is just to make something you love. Like, don't worry about the nutritional content. Don't worry about, you know, anything like that. But if you really love something, try making it, because then if you're good at it, it's a win-win. And if you're bad at it, well, at least you tried. So
I love that, seeing that what you just said as an analogy to life in general. Just do what you love and do it step by step. And in the end, it's a win-win situation. You will be happy, and you've probably made people on your way happy or in the end. So like, I think what you just said, you can transfer in every aspect of your life. I would like to move on to some final quick round of fire questions. So you just give me your fast, intuitive answer. What can we do for a better health today?
Water, drink more water. Mm-hmm.
What can we do for more self-love today?
Think every time that you are consciously thinking about it, just my mantra is everything in this moment is perfect. And 99.9% of the time, if you really think about it, it is perfect in that moment. And I can say that very confidently about what's happening right now. So like everything in this moment is perfect is my mantra.
Wow, this is amazing. We kind of already talked about it, but what's your favorite dish?
My favorite dish right now that I'm obsessed with is like a Korean tofu stew. I forget the actual name in Korean, but I am obsessed with the spicy, super hot, scalding broth that you put an egg into and the tofu. I love it. I think it's absolutely delicious and it just warms my heart.
Sounds good. What's the place where you feel most home on this planet?
my parents' house in Pennsylvania in the middle of the woods. I grew up in the exact same house. My parents still live in that same house. And I feel like as I get older, I realize how rare that is. So I do consider that to be home.
Was there a book, a movie, or a podcast that was a game changer for you?
I'm right now reading, actually, yes, I'm listening to an Audible course. It's called The Great Courses. They do like all kinds of educational courses. And this one is, it's a food history course. Oh. And it's like 18 hours long, but I have 6 hours left. And it's just so fascinating. I love history. And it's all about culturally how food has changed history. And it's so fascinating. And it's really definitely changed my perspective on things. I love it.
Nice. What makes you most pure, happy, and healthy?
Taking the time to love myself. And it's so stereotypical, but it's not been easy over the years. And it's so crucial to me to like love myself regardless of whatever things I've screwed up, done wrong, messed up, and still am doing awesome and amazing things. And just kind of taking time to express that to myself, I think is super important.
That's beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing that. Is there any last word you would like to say or anything we didn't get to speak about that's still dear to your heart?
I think maybe a last closing note on the cooking journey is that I think that if you want a way to connect with yourself and to, I think of cooking as a form of therapy because you have to focus. You can't not think about what you're doing at hand. So for anybody who's looking for a way to connect with themselves a little bit more and do the ultimate like act of caring for yourself is to nourish yourself with food. So I think just kind of giving yourself that opportunity is really important. So yeah, I think that's all. I think we got it all out there.
Gabby, it was so beautiful speaking with you, and I'm really, really happy we connected here on Pure Happy Healthy, and it's so amazing to see your journey. I'm really excited what's coming up for, and yeah, just thank you for being you. I'm sure we will hear a lot of amazing things from you.
Oh, thank you so much. This was so fun. This is my first ever podcast, so I'm very honored. This is very incredible, and I'm so grateful that you're doing this and you know, spreading the word of potential for holistic care and learning to love yourself. And as I said, that's super important to me, so I think it's amazing. So thank you. I'm very excited to have been here.
Thank you.